then start singing number 630.
Thank you. if the Lord will enable me to draw your attention to the text that we have this morning. You'll find it in the first chapter of the first epistle to the Thessalonians, the 10th verse. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The 10th verse in the first chapter in the first epistle to the Thessalonians. This morning, as we were enabled a little, we connected this verse with the preceding one in the order that it should be. For we are told in the preceding verse how the ministry of the apostles, and in the previous verses, how the ministry of the apostles was used to turn these idolaters and heathen people, as the Holy Ghost blessed it, sent it home with power to their hearts, and delivered them from idolatry, and caused them to turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. We don't want to go over that we said this morning. We would, as the Lord enables us, continue with this 10th verse, and to wait for his Son from heaven. What a wonderful, blessed thing it is to be brought to wait for the Son of God. In your experience, in him is salvation. In him is all the poor, helpless, sinful soul can need. In his finished work, in his glorious person. But it is evident from the word that there is a waiting for the Son of God to be revealed. And in some cases, in the sovereignty of God, the Holy Ghost, whose work it is, and his work alone, to bring us all to wait for the Son of God to be revealed to them. As in some cases, he makes them wait a long, long time. Nay, in some cases they wait even to their almost their last hour in this life before he reveals the Son of God to them. And yet in another case he sees fit to cut the work short, to convince them deeply of their sins, to bring them to serve the living God, and to seek for his Son, and he mercifully blesses them with the revelation of Christ, some in their young days, some in later life. But all how sovereign are his dealings. And it is a wonderful mercy, I repeat, if at any time in your life and mine we are brought to wait for his Son from heaven. And if you're brought into this posture, what are you waiting for? What is it that you're longing for? What is there in this blessed person that causes you to wait for him? Well, in the first place, you will have been convinced of your sins. You will have been convinced of your need of him. You will have been shown in some little measure at least something of the beauty and glory and loveliness of this person that attracts, that causes you to feel an attraction to him. Oh, how few there are today who really feel drawn and attracted to this blessed person. after the real deep need of him. Outside of him, there is no salvation. Outside of him, outside of his finished work, his glorious justifying righteousness, and outside of that atonement he made for the sins of his people, there is nothing but hell, damnation forever. Oh, that I could be used to awaken some dead soul, thereby the power of the Spirit to make them tremble concerning these things. Outside of Christ, poor sinner, there's nothing but doom, nothing but eternal despair, the bottomless pit. And if you're left to live your life in this world, you can fill it with all the pleasures and vanities there is under the sun, you'll be damned at last. How solemn, this is truth. And oh, what a mercy it would be if the Lord used it. But oh, there are those, I believe there are some here that have been made to know and feel their need of Christ. And who are brought to wait for him. where such is the case, living faith has been put in the heart. A faith that believes in him. You know, all through Christ's preaching, and in all the miracles that he wrought, how he set up faith. How many did he tell that their faith had saved them? And what a wonderful mercy it is. The soul that really seeks Christ, longs for him and waits for him, it is by reason of faith in their heart. They believe what the scriptures say concerning him. They believe in a deep felt need of him. They realize that without him they are lost forever. All this solemn belief, what a wonderful favor it is, that it will be rewarded one day. Oh, yes, it will. And what a mercy it is to be brought to seek him, to wait for him, this blessed person from heaven. For, as the apostle puts it here by the Holy Ghost, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What a wonderful mercy it is to be favored with this belief in your soul, this faith. You didn't always have it. No. There was a time when you were devoid of it. But what a mercy if the Lord has convinced you now of your sins and your need of this blessed person and given you to see in him sometimes the beauty that you can't describe, a loveliness, and it sets your heart longing after him, and that there's a waiting for him. But oh, what a mercy it is not to have just the mere desire of the hypocrite, which is set forth in the Word of God in many a place. They desire and have not. And there is not this waiting in their heart for this blessed Son of God to be revealed to them. No. And of course the Arminian would tell us that we should believe in him. But the apostle didn't tell these people here that, did he? No. He speaks of them waiting for his Son from heaven. That is to be revealed to them. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be favored to wait. And this is no easy thing. No, no. If you really are one of these waiters, you'll find sometimes almost everything within you, aye, and sometimes things without you, will all go against this waiting. And natural faith will die before you found him. Oh, there's a lot of natural faith, you know, springs up beside real God-given living faith in the heart. And how many times will this give up the ghost? How many times will unbelief say, it's no good any longer waiting, no good seeking any longer, you might as well give it all up. What's the good of seeking and seeking? You'll never find, you don't get what you want. Instead, it's just the very opposite. Yours must be a wrong desire. It's not the right kind of waiting, Satan will say. But if the cause of your waiting is your sins, and you long for them to be forgiven, and you long for him to speak forgiveness into your heart, oh, poor sinner, it's not wrong. That is Satan's lies, to stop the mouth of prayer if he can. Oh, seek on, seek on. May he enable you to wait and wait and still wait. And though, I believe though he makes many of his people wait a long time, yet, how true it is he carries off till men are faint, yet, comes that evening late. But what a mercy it is that when he does come, this blessed Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, all that solemn death that he died, we've touched on it a little this morning, but death could not hold him. That body that he had taken was holy. Holy, pure, there were no seeds of death in it, no mortality in that body. And though they did all that they could to bring death upon that body, they never could. No, no, I lay it down of myself, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. And all that they could do could not bring an end to that life of Christ, could not bring death upon him. We read solemnly, don't we, that when upon the cross he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Not the voice of poor, exhausted humanity, but a powerful voice now, which sounded out, it is finished. Then we read, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, willingly, voluntarily. As he said, he had power to lay it down, and so he did. And all was in the tomb, in the death, in that body. It could not remain there. No, no. Only as far as the prophets had said, according to the word of God, he must rise the third day. There was no seeds of death in that body. The tomb could not hold it. And at the set time, according to the appointment of Almighty God, he must rise again, whom he raised from the dead. And as he raised him from the dead, what a sign that was, what a proof that was, that he was the Christ, and that all that he had done was in accordance with the Father's will. And it set the seal to all his work, that it was finished, and complete. Nothing could ever be added to it or taken from it. And here, as he raised him from the dead, Oh, what a sign of the seal it was. The satisfaction of the Father with him. A complete glorification of the Father in all that he had done. And here it was a seal set upon it. Oh, they could roll the heavy stone there, they could seal it, they could set a watch, but what power was there in all this? Oh, how insufficient. They could never prevent this blessed Christ from being raised again out of the tomb. He had finished the work his Father gave him to do, and here was the proclamation of it, the glory of it, this resurrection of Christ. But when he arose, I believe in a mystical sense, all his members arose with him, in him. Ah, yes, here is the beauty and certainty of salvation, that indissoluble union between Christ and all his members. They were all in him. Just as the high priest, when he entered into the Holy of Holies, he had those tables upon his breast. He had the names of every tribe of the children of Israel upon his breast. And as he stood there, he stood for them. And when he came out again, he came out with those names upon his breast. And when Christ entered into the tomb, and when he gave up the ghost, and when he rose again, it was in complete unison with his whole church. Oh, here their salvation was made certain, absolutely sure. Nothing had failed, nothing could possibly fail of all that he came to accomplish. But oh, what a mercy it is to have faith in this Jesus. He didn't preach the ever dead Christ, did he? And that what would be the good of waiting for a dead Christ? He is risen. He is in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father in all the glory of his person. And yet, still in that humanity, he will never divest himself of that humanity. That human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss. He will never relinquish it. Oh, what a mercy. What a mercy. This is this Christ that was raised from the dead, even Jesus. Well, what a mercy it is to have that faith in exercise in your soul and mind that gives us to feel he is risen. He is risen. That he's a living Christ. That he's in heaven. And that he's still in that sacred, holy humanity in which he trod this weary earth, in which he was tempted, and in which he was tried, in which he spent whole nights in prayer, in which he trod the wilderness, where he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, with the wild beasts and was unconquered. That same blessed Jesus who had pity and compassion upon the crowds and fed thousands, who break the bread with his sacred hands and it multiplied as he break it, that same blessed Jesus is in heaven, and this is the person that the sinner is brought to wait for, to long for. Ah, he still lives, poor sinner, and he still lives to hear your prayers. He still lives to hear your desires, even those secrets within, those secret desires and longings after Him, which sometimes you're almost ashamed of. He hears them. Oh yes, He hears them. And He will in His own time and way answer them. Oh yes. But it will be at His appointed time, as we have said, some in their early days, some later on. Look at the cases in the scriptures. Look at the dying thief. Oh, we read, don't we, that he was crucified between two thieves. They both railed upon him at first. But one of them, in the sovereignty of God, he was changed. How sudden this work must have been in him, how quickly living faith was put in his heart. He looked upon that person between them. He saw him differently now. He saw him as Lord. He addressed him as Lord. Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Who told him he was the Lord? How did he know he had a kingdom? God, the Holy Ghost, put living faith in his heart. And oh, he didn't have long to wait, did he? No. No, that prayer went out of his heart, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the answer immediately was, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a blessed answer to that poor dying thief who had railed on him before. But in many a case how he makes them wait a long time. And yet he keeps them waiting for him. And he gives them faith to believe at times that he hears their cry. Have you ever sought him? And then has he ever given you to feel that his ear is bowed down, that he does hear your cries? Has faith ever been in exercise to that extent in your heart that you have felt he does hear? I believe he will answer one day. Oh, sometimes I do believe in the seeking soul, the Lord does sometimes bow down his ear to them, and he encourages them to seek on. We read that word, don't we, at the end of the 40th of Isaiah. They that seek the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is this people who ought to wait for him. Well, but what a wonderful mercy it is if he comes and blesses you in your soul, favors you with the sweet visit of his love and mercy, reveals his glorious person in your heart, and gives you that peace that passes all understanding, and favors you with the sweet assurance that your sins are forever put away, that heaven will be yours at last. Has he ever blessed you with this? Has he ever favored you with it? Oh, it is a mercy to know it, a mercy to have it. In my own case, he blessed me with it in my young days, but I've never forgotten it. If you won't, if he blesses you with it, if he brings you into the banqueting house with the banner of love over you, and you sit under his shadow with great delight, his fruit will be sweet to your taste. In those days we could sing of his mercy the day through. We lived in that blessed, glorious liberty and sweetness, and could commune with him daily. At our work, I remember singing the beautiful, full assurance hymns without a qualm, feeling how true they were. And in those days I looked for heaven and longed for it. But what a wilderness we've trodden since. Well now, if the Lord does bless you with that, you'll say, ah, it's worth waiting for. Worth all my waiting is to feel that he is yours and you are his. Is to be enabled to say with the poet that he is yours and that will be yours when time shall be no more. Oh, how sweet it is. I can't describe it, but it is a bit of heaven on earth. But there will then be in your path a wilderness to go through. If you receive this in your early days, sooner or later, you will come into a wilderness journey. But he'll never leave you in that wilderness. No, no. He's promised it, and he never will. And whatever temptations you come into, whatever sins, sorrows, griefs, pains, afflictions, whatever tribulations you're led into, it will all work for your good. He will see to that. He will sanctify these things to your soul's good and teach you to profit by them. They'll not pass over you, do you no good. Ah, no. In his wisdom, he will teach you. And what a mercy it is. But all this, the troubles and the trials of the way will keep you continually in this waiting for him. Waiting. How that word abounds in the Psalms. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He shall strengthen thine heart, says the psalmist. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, but there's every propensity in us by nature, and we learn it painfully to wait upon self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. And we turn here and we turn there, and often he is the last resort, so to speak. But he will bring his people more or less throughout their journey to wait upon him. Or if you have, as I have been saying, if you have had his blessing in your soul, if you have tasted of his peace of heaven in your soul, you'll wait for him year after year, time after time, for a renewing of that, a confirmation of it. It will be tried. All the battles that we've won in your poor soul concerning it, what struggles there will be against unbelief and against Satan, your doubts and fears. Sometimes you will be brought to your wit's end, you'll reel and stagger like a drunken man, wondering where the scene will end. All this is within, not without. And you'll wonder whether you've been deceived at last. You'll wonder whether you have any faith at all, really. Therefore you will see so much evil in your own sinful heart. But what does it do for you? What does it do within you? Doesn't it make you wait for him? Doesn't it bring you to an end of all your own strength, all your own wisdom? All your own management of these things that you're brought down, you fall down many, many times, and there's none to help. And what then, according to the Psalm, what then? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, they waited for him. Indeed, in the Christian's life, it is a life of waiting for him. It is truly. Or in one difficulty after another, one trouble after another, you'll be brought to wait for him. These things are sent to make you wait for him. And if, as we pointed out this afternoon at Sybil, if you had an easy path, you had nothing to trouble you, no temptations, no trials, no afflictive things, nothing to disturb your peace, you would wait for him much. You would need him. But I believe the Lord will deal with all his own whom he loves. And he will bring them constantly to wait for him. And oftentimes this waiting will be to deliver them out of their troubles, to help them in their difficulties, to strengthen them against all these adverse things. But sometimes it will spring up in your heart, I believe it does in mine, such a love to him, and you wait for him then. Oh, thou lovely, merciful Jesus, do shine into my poor heart again. I'm dark, I seem to wander, and I know not where I am. And sin, oh, how strong it is in my heart. Oh, I would wait for thee and long for thy presence again. And that you long for him because you love him. There's something in him you can't help but love. He'll bring all his people to love him and to wait for him because of that love. That love will be the thing that springs up within and will be the moving power that moves them to want him, to seek him. Ever felt it? Have you ever felt it? Have you ever felt that he was worth waiting for? Not just to escape a well-deserved hell. No. Not just to escape what you know you deserve. No, but because of the love to him. He will bring all his people to love him. He will indeed. And that they will wait for him sometimes through this love springing up in their heart. Ah, they will sometimes say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth I desire beside thee. And this not because of any present blessing at the time. No, but out of a longing for him. Where there is life in the heart, it can't be without him. You know very well in nature, if you love a person really, you long for that person's company. You long to hear their voice. You long for their conversation. And it is so well infinitely more in the things of salvation. There will be times in your heart when you long to hear the voice of Christ, when you long for it out of love to him. You may not be in any special trouble. You may not be in any special trial, but you won't be very long without. But there are times, I do believe, when Christ is precious to the soul, and you will long for him. You will say like the church does at the latter end of Solomon's song, O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hear thy voice, cause me to hear it. And you will long for him to speak to you, not only every time just because of your troubles. You will want him to deliver you out of trouble. But there will be sometimes a sweetness in his name, his person. Have you never read in your Bible sometimes? Have you never heard him preach and it has warmed your heart? Have you never felt a preciousness spring up in your heart? Have you never felt a desire for him? Have you never said within, Oh, let me hear thy voice. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Speak to me, merciful Jesus. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Ah, search my heart and see. Oh, you'll feel it in your heart sometimes of going out after him. You haven't got much real religion if you don't. But oh, if the Lord is with you, if he has blessed you with love to this blessed person, there will be at times of going out after him. And your life, your whole life, so to speak, will be more or less awaiting for him. What will you wait for as you get older, as we get nearer to the brink of Jordan? What do we wait for? Ah, we wait for the consummation of everything, the consummation of that road. We wait for the day when our soul will be delivered out of this sinful body, when it will be taken and that will wing its way into heaven itself, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Oh, sometimes the sweet anticipation, how good it is. And this will cause a waiting for him. And sometimes you'll say, oh, for patience to wait. A few more trials, a few more troubles, a few more difficulties, and perhaps a few more painful afflictions. But, to have sometimes a sweet anticipation that at the end of it all, you will go to this blessed person you waited for. And I tell you, you will say then, in heaven itself, you will say, it was worth all my waiting, all my waiting. It reminds one of the Queen of Sheba when she came to Solomon. She'd heard about him. She'd heard of his fame, his wealth, and his wonderful wisdom. But she was astonished when she saw it. And he answered all her questions, and they dissolved all her doubts. And she said, the one half has not been told me. And if you get a sight of Christ, either in this life in salvation, or when we come to the end, we shall say, it was but a little that we knew really concerning him. But oh, how good it has been to wait for him. He will bless the waiting soul. That soul that waits for him will never be ashamed. Never. No. Hey, you may be tried in your waiting. You will be. You will sometimes have everything against it. The world against it, everything will be against it. Satan will be against it. Your evil heart will be against it. And your patience will altogether die out. And it's a good thing when it does. When you're brought down to nothing, to have nothing, but just brought down to be a mass of helpless ruin, waiting. And this is where the Lord often brings his people. He tries of everything else so that they shall wait for him. Oh, you may be able to scheme and plan all your way, but you're not so wonderful mercy for the Lord to deal with you and dry up all your means and dry up everything in your pathway, and bring you down to absolute weakness, helplessness. But still there's that within you that will be waiting. It was in the case of Hezekiah, wasn't it? When the prophet came to him and said, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And though he had spoken concerning his perfect heart and his perfect life, yet, it was all taken away as the Lord mercifully dealt with him. and as he favored him in his soul, as he blessed him, not only with an addition of 15 years to his life, I think that would be nothing in his heart compared with this. He said he had put all his sins behind his back. Ah, that was worth waiting for, wasn't it? It was indeed. And I do believe that would be far more to him than 15 more years in his life, with all its troubles and trials. The Lord mercifully favoured him with salvation in his heart, stripped him of all his own perfections, and blessed him in his soul with salvation. What a mercy it is to wait for his son. And then he said, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. How few there are who believe there is any wrath to come. But all the word of God is true. There is a day coming when that wrath of the holy God will be poured out upon this sinful world. It will go up in a blaze, and all the works of men will be counted as stubble. Nothing better. Oh, but what a mercy to be delivered from that wrath to come. Sinner, if you're not delivered from that in this life, if you'll never know anything of waiting for this blessed Christ to speak peace in your heart, if you're brought to that through this life unconcerned, taken up with the things of time and sense and not the things of Christ, there is this day of wrath coming. It is coming as sure as you are here, and as sure as I am here, and it will come. Oh, what a mercy to be delivered from it. That Christ suffered, bled, and died, and magnified the Lord, made it honorable to deliver his own people from the wrath to come. In the days that have passed, in those days he drowned the world with a deluge. He has promised never to do that again. The next time it will be fire. Peter tells us, doesn't he, that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat and pass away with a great noise. Malachi tells us in the Old Testament, the day shall come that shall burn as an oven. Men put these things away, human nature won't have it. But it's the strong truth of God. And if the Lord writes these things in your heart, in this life, it will bring you to wait for his son and to long for his salvation. And you're a blessed person if he does bring you to wait and to look for him. But I must leave the subject, the time is gone. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.
The Galatians last Lord's Day in amount of 36 pounds 75 pence, for which we would be sincerely thankful. God willing, with the humble servant, again expect to preach on Wednesday evening and next Lord's Day. And close with singing hymn number 893. Surety find, and he will give him that. If hope, that you, thy soul and cheer, now leaves thee dark with night, and neither sun nor stars appear, yet wait for morning light.
Thank you. love and fellowship of God, the sweet communion